Brett, sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu. Thanks, Brett. Thank you, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Look out. It's only films to be buried with.
Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. My name is Brett Goldstein. I'm a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, an animal trainer, and I love film. As Shakespeare once said, there's nothing either good or bad, only thinking makes it so. But having said that, In the Heights is absolutely smashing and you should see it on the big screen. I absolutely loved it forthwith. Yeah, I liked it too, William. Nice one. Every week, I invite a special guest over, I tell them they've died, then I get them to discuss their life through the films that meant the most to them. Previous guests include Sharon Stone, Kevin Smith, James Acaster, and even Bed Crambles. But this week is the magnificent Mr. Joe Wilkinson. Head over to the Patreon at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein, where you get an extra 20 minutes of chat with Joe. We talk in depth about beginnings and endings. You get a really disgusting secret from him. There's no video this week, I'm afraid, but you can get the whole episode uncut and ad-free and videos for most of the other episodes. Check it out over at patreon.com/Brett Goldstein. There's a live show coming. There's only a few tickets left. Live show July 3rd at the Underbelly Festival, Saturday, in a Spiegel tent. It'll be very exciting. Me and Sarah Kendall, oh, we'll have a right old laugh. Come along and enjoy your lives. Your two TV missions, as always, to watch season one of Ted Lasso just before season two comes out on July 23rd on the Apple TV Plus app, and season one of Soulmates on Amazon Prime. One will make you very happy, the other will make you question your relationships. So, Joe Wilkinson. Joe Wilkinson is a comedian, writer, actor, podcaster. He's currently smashing it with his own podcast with Brian Gittins called Chatterbix. It's a daily podcast. Very, very funny. I highly recommend it. You should check it out. We recorded this last year deep into, I think it was the first proper lockdown when we recorded this, when most of us were at peak madness. I had to drag Joe kicking and screaming onto the podcast. I'm very grateful he finally agreed to do it. There's some stuff we talk about that's probably out of date now, such as being in lockdown and not being allowed to see anyone, that sort of thing. But you get the gist. We went through it, and I think it should all still make sense. And that is it for now. I very much hope you enjoy episode 152 of Films to be Buried With. Hello and welcome to Films to be Buried With. It is me.
He's talking Brett differently already. Yeah.
And this is me, Brett Goldstein, and I'm interrupted by a comedian, a writer, a him and her actor, a sketch comedian, a character comedian, an 8 out of 10 Count Downer, a living legend, and a man with a beard that is one of the reasons I have grown a beard myself. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Joe Wilkinson.
They're zoning out, mate. They're not interested. They've skipped to the next. They skipped back to listen to Kiri again.
I forgot to say podcaster, didn't I?
I'm not interested in being known as a podcaster.
No.
Or 5 out of the 8 things you mentioned.
Which are the ones you actually care about?
I liked writer.
Yeah?
Weightlifter and vet.
Damn. congratulations on your Cockfield show that you wrote with Brian.
Oh, cheers, mate. Thank you.
It's a very good show. And I believe there's going to be more if this ever ends. Is that correct? Or is that a secret?
That's a secret.
All right. Cut that out.
But we are writing more So whether it'll ever get on telly is another question, you know, because they might not want it and we can't go outside.
Yeah. And some of it was set outdoors. That's what was lovely about it. It was very charming.
About 42% was outside, yeah.
Lots of like green stuff.
Lots of green. Isle of Wight's very green, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd have to get rid of all that.
Shit. I knew there was a flaw in it. Never mind.
Joe Wilkinson.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you, how are you with the lockdown?
What lockdown?
Yeah, I thought it might appeal to you.
Yeah, not a lot's changed. What has changed? Queuing for milk. Just that's the only difference. But quite seriously, though, not a lot's changed. But I sort of want to say I'm joking, but I'm not.
Yeah. Is your wife usually at home?
Yeah.
Right, so nothing else?
Yeah, yeah. No. Apart from, I guess, go to the pub on a Friday, which I sort of really miss, actually. Mm. I thought I was sort of someone that could just stay indoors, but I'm fine except for, like, maybe Sunday lunch and Friday evening when I like to go out for an hour. But then it'll only be an hour, and it will always be before 8. Yeah. I'll be home for 8, because then you've got people going out, so I don't like to be around them. So I just leave as they're coming in. So, yeah, my week's changed by...
pretty much working out.
My week's changed by about 3.5 hours.
Right.
So not too bad, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. What about you? How are you going on?
I do miss gigs. So
You miss gigs?
Yeah, I miss doing gigs.
What do you miss about them?
Well, what I've realised is that it's also where I'd see people.
Like, right, it's your social life, right?
Yeah, that's the depressing realisation, is that that was also my social life.
That is the fun bit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the bit I like, is hanging out at the back.
Yeah, I was never any good at that, was I?
No, as evidenced in the first time I met you.
Am I really hated? Because I just don't join in.
No, it just makes you mercurial, and everyone's like, what is he?
Just wants to go on. Oh, my God, yeah, suddenly it was like, I never did that, you know, I never really hung about. I remember someone, I won't say it is, but I was doing a gig at the comedy store, you know, that really bleak back room at the comedy store, it's like a corridor, and like 3 or 4 people turned up, they'd done their gig, and they turned up to hang about, you know, afterwards, and... I could tell I wasn't getting on with them because I kept going, why are you here? What are you doing? Why are you...
Yeah, why haven't you gone home? You finished the gig?
If you're
this
finished,
isn't even the gig you were on.
Yeah, if you're finished, why are you... Okay, no. Oh, I know, fair enough. Do you want to do my 20? Split the money.
I think, well, my sort of understanding of you is that you like... hate gigs, but then you miss them, and then you do them for a bit, and then you love them, and then you go, I've done too many, I'm bored again, I don't like it.
Yeah, I think it is. I like getting stuff to work. That's what I like. But as soon as I've got something to work, I miss that. I've always listened to comedians sort of going what they enjoy about it, and I go, okay, that's what they enjoy. They enjoy the sort of the performance element of it, you know, like making people laugh and all that. And I don't think I have that bit. I think people sort of talk about like not being able to sleep after a gig because they got this high, and I'm like, what are you on about? What high?
honestly, you get no, like, you have a fucking smasher. You come off stage like.
Yeah, I think so. You know, sometimes you go, oh, I got away with that. You know, that was lucky. Yeah. Or whatever, but I'm not like pumped. It's genuinely true. I'm like, oh, okay. Some people get like a chemical rush that they obviously quite addicted to, whereas I obviously don't. I get fear beforehand,
right?
But I don't get that joy release afterwards. I think.
Is it different in your head and heart when you're on stage and having a bad gig? Does it make any difference? Like, are you going, oh, God, I wish this was going, or do you not care? You're just going, oh, I need to make this work.
I care. There is a slight difference. I'm sort of like, if it's going well, I'm sort of going, oh, right, yeah, okay, that should be all right now. And if it's going badly, I'm like, oh, fucking hell, why is it going badly?
So you doing a long run of a show is a nightmare for you once the show's up and running.
Yeah, definitely. I'm like, I can't be arsed, I think, in a way. I'll have to do something in it for me. But when I quite enjoyed doing with Diane because it was with someone else. And then if it also, you kind of, if it went badly, you had someone else to sort of go, oh, God, that was bad, wasn't it? But, and then it could also, if things went wrong, it was funny. It's you look insane.
Yeah. If you're with someone, it's really fun when it goes badly. But if you're on your own, it's so bleak.
Yeah. It's really bleak. And I think, like, sometimes, you know, something goes wrong when I'm doing it with Diane, you sort of find it funny. But if you just stood there laughing at your own demise on your own, it's, you know, it's clinical, isn't it? So.
Oh, Joe. I've forgotten to tell you something.
Go on.
Oh, nuts. Mm-hmm. I should have told you at the top, actually.
What's that?
What? Nah. Fuck. I'll just say it.
I'm feeling really like something awful is about to happen.
I don't want to. You've died.
Yes! For a minute, I thought it was going to be something terrible.
No. It's good news.
Oh, what a weight off.
How did you die?
I choose, do I? I'd say I bled out.
from where?
A wound, a shoulder wound that I've no idea how it happened. I've come in and I've bled out in front of friends and family. So everyone's traumatised.
So it's like a wedding or something like that?
Oh, yeah, okay, a wedding. Yeah. I bled out at a wedding.
Yeah.
There was 300 people there and I could have been saved, but as we've worked out, no one's that bothered by me.
Yeah.
So they all just turn around and watch the first dance.
So you've wandered into the marquee, you've been outside, you don't know what's happened, no one knows what's happened, you come in, there's a little wound on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And just bleeding quite heavily.
Yeah. But I eventually bled out as the DJ's wrapping up.
So it took all night from the first dance to New York.
It started when I went for a piss between the starter and the main.
Right.
I came back, started to bleed out. They had the main, they had the cutting of the cake. They've had first dance. Everyone's got a bit leathered. There's been a couple of... couple of little incidents that didn't escalate too much, you know, a couple of tears and what could have been a fight. And then everyone's clearing out, taxis are coming, and they lose me at that point as everyone's queuing to get their coats. Yeah. I've bled out, which, you know, it's pretty standard.
Do you worry about death?
In what way? Like, would worry about could I die?
Do you think about death a lot, I suppose?
Well, genuinely, I nearly died yesterday.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Go on.
It's took an unexpected turn, didn't it?
Yeah.
I was cooking some lunch, and you know when you're cooking and you have something to, you go, oh, I'm going to have something to eat before I finish cooking. I had some pickled beetroot, and a chunk got stuck in my throat. And I couldn't breathe. And I ran out into the garden, pointing at my throat. My other half went panicking. She's not very big. And she's trying to Heimlich manoeuvre me. She wasn't strong enough. So I ran. I couldn't breathe at all. I ran through the house.
God.
Into the road.
Yeah.
To hopefully someone would be on the road. Obviously, at this time, there's not a lot of people about. But luckily, a jogger ran past. He was a big guy. And I was, like, pointing at my throat going... like mad, and he was like, I don't know what to do, and he sort of gave it a go at the Heimlich maneuver, and luckily a bit of beetroot shot out of my mouth onto the floor. Took an unexpected turn, didn't it?
And then what? Did the runner just run on? Cheers, mate.
Well, yeah, he turned up to live four doors up on my road, and he came back then because my missus called an ambulance, and the ambulance, we cancelled it after it shot out, but they turned up anyway. I think, just to make sure you're all right. She's not the time to be calling an ambulance. But, yeah, so until then...
How long was that whole process from it being stuck to the guy getting it out? What was that?
Longer than that, I'd say, yeah. I didn't have that much longer before I would have probably passed out.
Oh, my God. And what was going on in your head? So you literally weren't breathing for a whole...
No, yeah.
2 minutes.
Weird, huge panic. I remember thinking, oh, God, I might die. I could die. I could have never felt like that before. Weirdly, you go a bit Jason Bourne. Yeah. Your brain works a lot faster. Because I spoke to my neighbour, and it's happened to her friend, and she happened to her in a pub, and people were trying to get it out, and she remembered someone telling her that someone they knew over the road was worked as a doctor. She was running out of there. She climbed out of the pub, because went across the road, knocked on the door, and that person saved them. Your brain just goes Jason Bourne, yeah. So wow. I knew immediately my other half wasn't going to be able to do it. She wasn't strong enough as soon as she started doing it. So I pegged it. I just went, I bet someone would be outside.
Wow. Your Jason Bourne went, my wife's going to be shit. I've married badly for this.
Yeah, that was that Jason Bourne hadn't kicked in at that point. That was standard. I was like, not you, love. Stay out of it. So it's probably quite a bleak way to take me. Yeah.
And when it came out, did you feel like a rush of, I'm going to live?
No, I panted for a bit, and then I went, oh, sorry about that, mate. And he went, ah, that's all right. I said, oh, we've ballsed up the social distancing. And he was quite funny. He went, all right, now let us off. And I said, oh, cheers for that. And he was like, that's all right. And my missus went, get off the pavement. I went back in. And then she went, I've been telling you to chew properly for fucking years. And I went, oh, fucking hell.
You know what? Anyway. I also wondered genuinely, and I think this, and I know you're going to be all like, whatever about it, but you are also on the telly quite a bit. And I wonder if that jogger, it must have been so surreal, if that jogger is like a fan. That suddenly, from Countdown runs out in the road, goes, because I would think that would slow down the response, right? Because someone would go, is it? Are you?
Yeah, it's not the time. He did get a selfie. No, he didn't. what was quite weird is I write a stupid joke about joggers on Twitter or something. And this girl got in contact and replied, joggers save lives, wink.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, so somehow she knew. And I replied, what do you know? But she hadn't got back to me. So I'm quite, and weirdly, she's friends with James Gill on Twitter. You're not friends, are you? Follow.
Yeah.
He followed. So I was like, who's this woman? And he was like, I went to school with her or whatever. And I went, how does she know I choked on Beatrice? And he was like, I don't know.
Interesting. Do you think there's an afterlife, Joe Wilkinson?
Do you think there's an afterlife? No. I don't think. I genuinely never thought about it.
I'm glad I brought it up.
Be all right to. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind doing it again in a different frame.
Yeah, what would you pick for the next time?
Something with a shorter life.
Really?
Yeah, like what's about 7 years? What lasts about 7 years?
A dog?
A dog. Yeah, but... See some people with dogs and you go, God, I wonder if we reincarnated as yours.
Yeah.
I'd like to be an old person's dog.
Yeah.
Because then you're mates, aren't you? You have a really nice, you just do everything together. That's what I'd like. But yeah, I'd like to come back as an old pensioner's dog. Yeah. Yeah, basically I want to sit on a pub floor.
Yeah.
Because I've always thought I'm going to be freaking brilliant when I'm old, because I'll just go to the bookmakers and the pub and then go home about, as I say, about seven and watch telly. It's going to be amazing. But I've realised I'd rather be an old person's dog.
Yeah, it suits you.
Yeah, I'll be a really good old person's dog. Just look up at the right time. You know what I mean?
You stay out of the way when there's there. You could both nap together.
Yeah, if he fell, I'd bark.
Yeah. If you were choking, he'd call the neighbour.
If he was choking, I'd bark.
Yeah.
I'd bark. Basically, whatever he did, I'd give him a little bark. Yeah. Can't do that else. No, I really want there to be an afterlife now.
Well, good news, my friend. There is an afterlife.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there's a heaven and everything. And in it, you can roleplay as dogs, whatever you want to do.
Okay.
I say whatever you want to do, but they are obsessed with films there. And the first thing they want to know is, what is the first film you remember seeing, Jay Wilkinson?
I know what the first film I actually saw was, well, if we're talking in the cinema, was Popeye with Robin Williams.
The Robert Altman film.
The what film?
Robert Altman.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it was actually the second film I watched, because the first film I watched I remember more about, which was the 15-minute film you get before a film. Do you remember they used to do that? You're probably too young, aren't you? You're 28, 29.
Yeah, I'm a baby.
But are you old enough to remember when they'd play a film before a film?
No.
Like they wouldn't have...
Well, they do that with Pixar films.
Yeah, that's probably where they probably got it from...
They probably picked it from your childhood.
From my childhood. But before the Robin Williams film, I didn't know it was Robin Williams at the time. I sort of saw a clip of it years later. But they had a 12-minute film about alligators before, and I preferred it. Just a little documentary about alligators.
Oh, really?
My dad took me and my brother because my mum had had enough, I think.
Right.
Or she might have been having a driving test, actually, think about it, weirdly. And I remember I'd never been to the cinema, and I never really sort of went out with just my dad. You know what I mean? It was like, I remember thinking, God, this is quite mad. So, yeah, it was stuck in my head. I don't remember anything about Popeye, but I'm word perfect about the film about alligators. Yeah.
Did you like the cinema? Were you like, bloody hell, this is good?
Yeah, I felt like people were looking, genuinely, I remember the feeling of people thinking people must be looking at me going, wow, he's in the cinema. It was like such a, I don't know, I felt like otherworldly. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, how's he in the cinema? It's incredible, he's only four. Can I Google what year it was? Because then I know my age. I'm 1980. Came out in December 1980, so I'd have been five.
The alligator film.
Popeye did. I haven't got any reference to the...
Doesn't mention the alligator film.
No. So that's the first film I saw. I don't remember anything about Popeye. I didn't know it was Robin Williams, obviously.
Yeah.
But I remember... A reason I remember now why I didn't like it, though, was because someone was playing the part now and it wasn't a cartoon. Because I remember going into it thinking, oh, it's obviously going to be like the...
Oh,
cartoon, and it wasn't. It was this fucking prick.
Yeah, it's a really weird film.
And I remember shouting out, "Who's this fucking prick?"
That's why people might have been looking at you, to be honest, as a four-year-old.
I said, he's probably good at stand-up, this guy. He's probably a very, very good stand-up.
Yeah.
But I don't want him to play Popeye. It should be a cartoon.
Yeah.
So that was...
How do you say his name? Popeye?
Popeye, yeah.
Popeye.
Pop. I can't say husband.
Why? Husband.
Okay. Yeah. How do you say it?
Husband. How do you say it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you did, yeah. The way I say it is wrong, apparently. Husband, I say.
Husband.
Husband, yeah. And I can't say Popeye as well, it turns out.
Yeah, Popeye.
Popeye. I'll say Popeye for you for the rest of this.
Hopefully I like it. I started to make me think you're really obsessed with dogs. It's weird. What is the film that made you cry the most?
Oh, that's easy.
Go on.
Farlap. Do you know the film Farlap?
No.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know if you're pronouncing it right.
Yeah.
Do you mean E.T.?
Yeah. And it's spelt Fast and Furious.
What's Farlap?
I really pleased you at that, because I've listened to your podcast and you always know it.
Oh, I do.
You always know the film.
Me.
And it's about, well, the Farlap was an Australian racehorse, and it's a film about the racehorse. It basically was this trainer basically bought this flea bit ridden horse, which turned out to be as good as Red Rum over here, basically, and won lots of races. And there's a scene at the end. Can you spoil films? No one's going to watch it.
Yeah,
off my record. And basically, the relationship in the film is the stable boy and the horse. But he basically ends up training the horse and riding the horse, and they end up, you know, like close relationship, obviously. Close relationship. That's how distant I am as a human. They end up with a close relationship. Terrible way of explaining a love story. They have a close relationship.
They become husbands.
They become husband and puppy. And then the horse, because my dad loves horse racing, basically, that's why I watched it. And at the end, basically, when a horse is dying, if it lies down, it's, you know, it's over, game over for the horse, basically. And the horse starts to lie down, and the stable boy's saying, "Don't," oh God, I'm welling up here, says, don't lie down. And he's trying to push the horse to stay up, and it's heartbreaking. When I say cry, I mean laugh my head off. No, I really cried.
Do you cry a lot, Jay Wilkinson?
No. But, you know, I'm not into all this crying and talking about it. No, I'm joking. do I cry a lot? I think in the last year, I don't cry, but I well up and I stop myself crying. More since I've been in my 40s, I think I see the fragility of things more now, whereas before I didn't. But I cried then. And I watched it with my dad and my brother, and neither of them had any emotion on their face whatsoever. So I'm very much the open one in the family.
Are you the youngest?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Got another
right, one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the wet one, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, that made me cry.
That's a good answer. You probably stumped me. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I think, well, I think we got it out because my dad does say that likes horse racing. And I remember it was from Blockbusters, and I think they had to sort of dust off the copy. So I don't think it was well known.
Bit of that furlap.
Yeah.
I should
say this now. The reason we spoke before this about, I feel quite intimidated by this because you've had lots of really clever people on talking about films in a really intelligent way. And I feel like this is my first little sort of stumble on an uneven pavement towards the end
of
this.
You're the first person to stump me. You are so far the cleverest.
Yeah, I've brought up the shittiest film that's made people cry. And I feel like I'm going to do that a few times.
What's the film that scared you the most? And do you like being scared?
No, I don't like being scared. I hate being scared. And my friend Anna knows this. Mm. And we used to have we used to watch films together on like Saturday night. And another friend, Jeremy, came over. And they know I don't like being scared. They made me go on a roller coaster once, and that backfired because they were like, "Oh, okay, you weren't mucking around. You really don't like being scared.
Please don't mucking."
Yeah. And they said, "We're going to watch this film." And I was like, honestly, because I know they really like, but they like two things. They like horror films and what's the old TV show where we used to do? Oh, what's it called? It's going to annoy me. Where the Tales of the Unexpected,
right?
That were their two obsessions. Tales of the Unexpected, amazing. I became obsessed with them. Absolutely nothing happens in the tale of all the stories, and suddenly there's this massive reveal that hasn't been set up. It's incredible. Incredible. There's no storytelling. It's just magnificent. So anyway, they were like, "We're going to watch this film." I said, "It's not a horror because, you know, look, Saturday night, I don't like it. I don't, you know, no." And they put Hostel on. Have you seen Hostel?
Yeah, I've seen Hostel, yeah.
It's the only horror film I've ever watched, and it's, from what I've been told, it's one of the worst. And I was so angry. It's sort of the first third is like a soft porn.
Yeah.
It's really weird. It's like just young people sort of bouncing along the road with their bodies, you know. And then
just taking their bodies with them.
Make their bodies move in a upwards rather than just down, like normal people. And then But then it just, like out of nowhere, it cuts to the an Achilles heel being sliced open. And I was like, oh, my God. And for some reason, I sort of bullied into watching the rest of it, and it's properly scarred me. And I'm the fucking pricks. It was really, I don't like being scared. I was going to say something like a good film that scared me, which didn't, because I wanted to fit in. I was going to say Jewel. You know, Jewel, obviously.
Yeah.
PhD in film. Yeah, but it didn't scare me. It was just really good. But I thought of Arts Odyssey and that shite film Hostel scared the bejesus. Is it a shite film? I don't know. You sort of know.
I don't like those films. The Hostel.
Is it considered lowbrow?
It's the torture porn genre.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is there a genre? What did you call it? Horror
torture
porn.
Torture porn.
My God, I watched a torture porn.
Yeah, you watched a torture porn.
Flipping
all the way through.
I'm putting that on my CV.
That's you. That's going on your Wikipedia page now.
Torture porn fanatic. Watched three quarters of one of them. Awful film. Yeah, so that one. Don't watch that.
No.
I like that. What I also like is most people on your podcast say, I don't really like slagging films off. I'm fine with it because I'm.
You don't like.
No, I'm not a problem with it.
So Tales of the Unexpected. So nothing happens, and then suddenly a monster will come in.
There's one called, I think it's called Royal Jelly, right? And yeah. I'll sort of word for word, I'll give you the kind of how the
pitch
how,
it to how me.
The, yeah, well, how, I'll say the I'll give you all the beats of the story.
Okay.
Young couple have got a baby, and they're sort of. You know, it's like a domestic scene in a cottage and the baby's crying a bit and he goes out to work, comes back. Baby's still crying. He goes out again, comes back. And baby's still crying and she's sort of going, I don't know what's going on here. And he goes out again. And like about the fifth or sixth time, they say the same thing. Out of nowhere, he just sort of goes, bzz, and he goes, oh, well, that was. And then he goes out, comes back. And... She goes, I don't know why the baby won't stop crying. And he says, have you tried giving it some honey? And she's like, what? And he turns around and he's a bee.
The baby's a bee or the man is
no,
a bee?
No, the man's a bee.
Oh, wow.
So she's been like, she's the baby's half bee. So that's
she's
why it's
been
crying.
Like, had sex by a secret bee.
Yeah, and then the music at the end plays, and you go. And when I watched that, my friend Jeremy was sat next to me. Whenever I watched one of these, he'd sit next to me, and he was obsessed with them. He'd go, it's half an hour episode. He'd go, we're 23 minutes in, and nothing has happened. or he'd know the point where you'd get to, and still in each of them, he'd go, see, we're 17 minutes in. And still nothing has happened. There was another one where Joan Collins was at a dinner party and she's horrible to everyone for 27 minutes. She's just like, I don't like your plates or whatever. It's just really horrible. And she sort of storms out into the garden and there's this piece of artwork with a hole in it. And for some reason she sticks her head in it and her head gets caught in it. And everyone's like, oh. And then I think they just walk away from her. She's got her head stuck in it. Or they push it over or something. I can't remember. But
the unexpected thing, the unexpected twist of the tale is Joan Collins gets her head stuck in a bit of art.
Yeah.
It is
unexpected, but you could just, like, in a cowboy film, if someone just got three penises out, you go, you know, that's weird. You know, it doesn't mean it adding anything.
But it's good.
It's good. In the torture porn category.
It's not as good as torture porn, is it, Jay? What
not as good
is
as torture porn.
The film that you love? Critically, it's not acclaimed. People don't really like it, but you don't care. You love it.
Right. I struggle with this one because, you know, little peek behind the curtain, you send these questions to us before, don't you? Is that all right to tell your
I think listeners? I think they're onto it.
Okay.
They're onto it.
And this one I struggled with because I was like, this one could actually make me go, oh, you know, people go, oh, God, he is a fucking moron. You know, because you kind of, I want to say, I want to sort of say something that is actually good, right. But I'm above it.
Yeah.
Because I like stuff that's really good. And then I was like, so I was going to say something like, I don't know, what's the sort of mid-range good film that, you know, people, if you say you really like it, no one goes, oh, yeah, that is brilliant. But no one goes, oh, you fucking idiot. So, like, Midnight Express, something like that, right?
Okay, yeah? That's really good.
Oh, it's really good, okay.
Mid-range, you're talking, I don't know, Die Hard 2.
That, is no, that mid-range? Oh, okay, maybe I'm not too bad then. So people don't stay off. You know what I mean? They go, oh, okay, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But then I sort of went truthful and I go, I actually like, and I think it's brilliant writing, sort of Solomon, Men in Black.
I love Men in Black.
Oh, right, okay. See, I don't know. See, this is where I'm like, you can say anything to me. You can go, oh, that's with that's, this, that's the fourth word, worst film.
Men in Black, that's a paedophile pornography.
Yeah, exactly. Which has just gone a little darker than I even thought was possible. But I think it's... I watched it the other day, and I was like, it's a really good story. I'm like, at every... And it's funny, and I was like... And I guess I'm a little bit biased, because I listen to a lot of Ed Solomon on podcasts and stuff.
Right.
And he's spoken about it quite a lot, and how much work went into it, and... I feel like it's got loads of really good ideas in it, and it's funny, and like I'm probably not meant to like Will Smith, but I think he's really good in it.
And, I love him.
He is good. Yeah. I never know who's all right to like. You know, I know you can say Audrey Hepburn. No one's going to go, you fucking prick, if you say Audrey Hepburn. But if you say Will Smith, I don't know. I can't imagine you can talk about Will Smith at a dinner party. You know, but you can sort of go, oh, I love Audrey Hepburn. And people go, God, yeah, and I do. I can't think of any of her films, but I can think of all of Will Smith's films.
It's really good, Men in Black. I like them all.
Yeah.
I really like the very last bit of it. The little, like...
Of which one? One, two or three?
Actually, all of it. There's always a little, like...
Yeah, it's got heart at the end. Yeah, the mad thing was, I do think the first one's the best one, but I'm really big Flight of the Conchords fan, and I had no idea it was Jermaine Clement.
Yeah,
he is good.
He's good.
Like it was really cool to see him play against type like that. That's fucking cool. I was like, wow, shit. I've always been, like, I slept in a bed that he slept in the day after he slept in it. So,
oh, God.
So it's kind of written in the stars, isn't it?
Yeah, wow.
I stayed at David O'Doherty's house and he'd had Flight of the Conchords stay the night before. And I played it cool. And then I went into the bedroom and I fucking was
playing. You went to town.
I was angry and kind of chuffed at the same time because I was one day away from meeting Flight of the Conchords.
But I bet you had a lie-in the next day, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I had a lovely little roll about and that. Absolutely lovely, yeah. So that was quite cool.
What is the film that you used to love but you don't love it anymore?
I really struggle with this because, like, most of my favourite films are from the 80s. I really like comedy films. You know, like, I know, again, it's like they always sort of get passed over as sort of great films. But I used to love... when I was really little, Smokey and the Bandit, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant. And I watched it about 5 years ago and I didn't even understand the concept.
What is the concept?
Well, exactly. Like, I don't know, really. But they've got to get across this... Right, this is what I think it is. There's a lorry that's got to get across the country really quick. And I think the... what's his name? Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
He's got the same birthday as me.
Nice.
He's in a car to sort of distract the police because they're going too fast, I think. I think that's it.
Right.
But they don't really set it up. Like, it's just, I think it was just, when I was a kid, I thought, oh, that's just a ridiculous concept. But in a kid, like, when you're a kid, I mean, anything can happen in America. because we hadn't been. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As far as I knew, there was still, you know, like the Wild West had been parts of it and stuff. So, you know, you were like, okay, so they have this thing where when lorries want to go fast, someone drives a car next to them. And I was just totally bought into it. But I didn't give a shit about it. And then, you know, watched it at 39 or something. And I was like, what the fuck is the concept of this film? What the fuck? What the fuck are you based this whole thing on? Something that in no way could, in no world this could exist.
Yeah.
What the fucking hell's going on? And then they don't really explain, like, they don't explain. The first time he sort of distracts the police by going really fast, you're just meant to sort of, they don't say, okay, I'm going to distract the police by driving down this way and then you'll be able to go really fast. And surely there's one more than one copper in every county anyway. And then you just sort of, you're just sort of watching him drive fast with that pretty one from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Sally Field.
Sally Fields, that's it. I should have known that. Fucking hell.
Sally Fields.
That's, you should put a horn every time I say something that makes me lowbrow. Sally Fields. She's probably done. She's done off Broadway, am I right?
You could say Sally Fields at a dinner party, I reckon. People be like, oh, yeah, Sally Fields.
Favourite actress, Sally Fields. Or Audrey Hepburn or Will Smith. And I'd rather say actress. It's actor. They're both actor now, so you don't say actress.
Yeah.
And I'd say that at a dinner party.
I not think Sally Fields very underrated. Anyway, what do we have for mains?
Maureen, what's this I hear about you going to film school? I am. I want to gain valuable skills while making films and developing my creativity, so I'm attending the New York Film Academy. I'm thinking about becoming one of them people that writes the numbers on the title board. NYFA is a very respected film school. I hear they offer a variety of options to meet your educational goals, whether you want a BFA or MFA degree or want to learn at a quicker pace with a short-term programme. That's right! They've got workshops and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, cinematography, screenwriting, producing, game design, musical theatre and more. Are you attending in New York? Might do. They have multiple campuses in some amazing locations like New York, LA, Miami, Italy, Australia and online. And you can learn more about the New York Film Academy at nyfa.edu. That's nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Maureen.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
What is the film that means the most to you? Not necessarily the film itself is any good, but because the experience you had around seeing it that will always make it special to you.
Right. This one was a tricky one for me again, because as I say, I'm a fan of your podcast and
thanks, man.
Everyone has got this incredible story, and it's usually how they met their wife.
Mm.
So, for fuck's sake, I haven't got anything like that. And the one that stuck in my mind, I was just going, I'm just fucking telling that. I used to live with two pals of mine who I grew up with, and we used to live in Wandsworth together. And my friend Simon and my friend Elise, Else, we used to, and Simon is called Simon Cotfield, who I nicked his surname for the sitcom, and my friend Elsie. Anyway, it's Friday night, and my friend Elsie had said, do you want to go to the cinema tonight? And I was kind of always I was a bit unreliable friend, you know.
How old were you in this story?
I was in my 20s.
Okay.
But, I love Simon and Elise. They're, you know, two of my best friends and stuff. But I was probably a bit a crap friend or whatever, forgetting stuff, whatever. Right. So anyway, we'd agreed to go to the cinema, and I, after work, went to the pub with my friend. And we'd, like, it's so, I think we were going to the cinema at 8 o'clock. So I've been in the pub since about 5.
Right.
And I got a phone call on my enormous mobile, and she says, where are you? I'm outside the cinema. And it all come flooding back to me.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, shit, sorry, I'm on my way. And I was like, My friend was like, just don't go, you're pissed. I was like, honestly, I've let her down loads and we used to sort of play tricks on her and stuff. So I was like, oh, I better go. And we got to cinema. I got to cinema and I was drunk, basically. Yeah. And we went in to watch Fight Club. Now, I watched the first maybe 20 minutes of Fight Club and then I fell asleep and I snored really loudly, apparently. And then I woke up and I woke up to the reveal.
Yeah.
In Fight Club. And so there's never been a point for me to watch that whole film. And we left that cinema and she was so fucked off with me. She was like, I've never been so embarrassed. You snored and you sort of slept talk and you just stank of booze and it's really embarrassing. So even when I tried, even when I went, I really let her down. And I really can't be asked to watch the film because I know the reveal. So I literally woke up with just enough info to sort of go, oh, right, oh. And then I worked backwards. I was like, oh, fucking hell, right. And I'd seen enough at the front.
Yeah, to be impressed by the reveal.
So I didn't need any of the fun in the middle. So I never watched it. So that's probably doesn't answer the question properly, but that's
I think that makes it memorable.
Yeah, but it's funny, and my friend Elsie's in, she lives in America now, and she was meant to be over last weekend. I meant to see her, but she can't. Her and her family are trapped in Washington, D.C. Mm. So that I think that's probably why it sprung to mind.
That's great. I'll take it. What's the film you most relate to?
Right, Ratatouille. Now, I haven't got an answer to this one. I was like, I literally done, I'm going to do this properly, you know. And I was like, I don't relate to anything. What are you on about? Literally, I kept reading it going, what are you on about? I was like, it's all made up, mate. It's like, I had this idea of, like, genuinely trying to convince you it was the mouse in Ratatouille, and then I bailed out. Well, give me a hand in. What do you think?
I think relates to you? What film?
Yeah, like what character, what film? Because I literally was like, I know I'm going to do this for Brett.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that.
And I was like,
very well so far.
I think I got annoyed at the question. That's not a dig at the show.
You could be annoyed.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't stress me out, but I think I lost my temper. Has everyone else answered it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Everyone goes, oh, this one's really hard, and then they answer it. So I'm waiting for you to now answer it.
All right. Probably, you know The Godfather?
Yeah.
There's an extra in that at the wedding.
Yeah.
who doesn't ever leave the table he's sat at.
Yeah.
Him.
That's you.
Yeah.
Is he bleeding out at the wedding? His shoulder?
He probably did.
So you most relate to the extra at the wedding in Godfather.
Yeah, or an extra in EastEnders who just sits at the bar. An extra who's told to just not
leave the table.
Yeah.
Just don't go to the toilet.
Just talk, move your mouth, but don't make any noise. Because that's what you tell it. I'm fucking obsessed with extras in
I'm
stuff.
Obsessed with extras.
So
that's
cool.
All I watch these days is extras.
I'm
obsessed with them.
I sometimes there's what's that brilliant one about the there's a it's a Channel 4 thing about the I want to say spies, I can't even think of the word. But anyway, there's this bit where they walk down this really long corridor. Really wide, big corridor. Yeah. And I was going through one of my watching the extras phase. And in this kind of 3-minute monologue, unfortunately, they'd used quite a distinctive extra. And he walked past 6 times.
I love it.
Yeah, so and the other thing was when I was doing this thing and in Him and Her with the wedding.
Yeah.
I sat at a table. I didn't really do much in that episode. So I sat at this table and I was just sort of sitting there watching, you know, like kind of watching people act and direct or whatever. But the six other people on my table, they were really impressive. They'd set up their own little play on the table that they did silently, like, and they did it the same every time.
That's great.
It was unbelievable. So I was like, but they hadn't included me. So sort of things were getting passed across me without me kind of...
You know what I look for? My favourite thing to look out for, and you always see it, is people in the background. Usually if it's like a restaurant scene or a bar scene, so there's a couple talking in the background. And what happens is you see what's happened through the day, because at the beginning they've gone professional, nod, mouth some words. But as the day goes on, they start to get to know each other. And they'll actually try and have a conversation mouthing. But what if you watch, you'll always see one extra go, what? What? Because they are trying to genuinely understand what each other is saying. So it'll always be someone going, what? What? Again?
The other unrealistic thing about extras is, obviously, they're meant to be a crowd or people.
Mm.
There's when they're playing extras, there's never a nosy prick. You know, like... I don't know about you, but you walk down the road and you see something, something's going on, even if it's like a slight noise, you look at it and have a bloody good stare. But they're told not to like look at the action. So
they look at the fight going on over there.
Yeah, exactly. So like a hand grenade goes off and they just kind of keep walking because they're told not to look at the action. Whereas me, like someone drops 5p and I stop and kind of have a good stare.
Get your phone out, film it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what real life is. You're just fucking nosing.
One of my favourite bits in Super Bob is there's a bit where I take off, where I fly up.
Oh, yeah.
And there are two extras, and one looks that way and one looks the other way. And they're right next to each other, as if I've exploded in midair.
I watched his arm and I watched his shoulder.
Yeah. What is the... Here we go, Joe Wilson. I'm really curious where you're going to go with this one. What's the sexiest film you've ever seen, Joe Wilson?
Well, I didn't... Right, I took this question how I wanted to, basically. Okay. I just took it, who have I fancied most in a film?
Absolutely the correct way to say it.
Because some people sort of said, like, oh, the whole film made me feel this way. I was like, oh, whatever. Not having that.
I appreciate that.
Who did I fancy most in a film ever? It was Helen Mirren in The Long Good Friday.
Really? Nice. Yeah. Now that is a dinner party answer.
Yeah. Especially
that is a real dinner party answer.
I had to audition. They asked me to audition for a thing that she was in.
Really?
I didn't do the audition, but I was like, fucking hell, that'd be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. And I'd fancy you in the 70s.
God, you and Sally Field, as it goes.
Yeah, and Audrey Hepburn. Am I heading off? Am I? That's a brilliant film. Long Good Friday. Should be one of my answers. That's a good. That no one can.
It's a really good film.
Fucking hell! What do I think of that? That is one of my favourite films. Just cut that in somewhere.
Somewhere. You just want that on the record somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, I do. So it's like, I always like. I feel like other people in this sort of game, my favourite, the film that I guess I love most is Cloth, something like that, and I feel like mine are like really naff. I feel like one of the answers has to be a film that I haven't heard of for me to really respect.
Well, you've done it. No one's heard of Farlap.
Farlap.
Sorry, Popeye. Right,
husband
there's a subcategory. To the question.
There's a what?
Side category. Troubling boners, worrying wide-ons. What films did you find arousing? You weren't sure you should.
No, again, I didn't agree with this one. I was like, I don't. Like, because, you know, like, you can say, like, was it Jessica Rabbit and all that? And I'm like, nah, no, it didn't. Just like, looks a bit like a woman, doesn't it? But it's not. So I was
Jessica Rabbit arousing?
No.
Really?
No, I think I'm too clinical. I'm like, I'm thinking about the 52-year-old animator.
Yeah.
Who's coloured it. Yeah.
But you wish you were.
Yeah. The bloke who's coloured it in.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about our cleavage. I'm just thinking about how long it would have taken in Photoshop to do the bugger. So, no, I didn't really find, like, you know, I think someone said, like, a fox or something. And I was like, nah, I'm not having it. I don't, sorry.
So you've got zero answer.
All of the cast of Watership Down.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. Okay, we'll move.
In no particular order. I'd absolutely tear strips off all of them. How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, that is troubling. Joe Wilkinson, what is objectively the greatest film of all time?
This, again, I was like, right.
Okay, now, do we have to fucking have a go at every question?
No, but this is where it's tense for me, because who everyone else said, because I feel like all my art, like, I feel like I started lying to myself. Because I was like,
probably, yeah.
I was like, I really just want to fall in the middle. Just, you know what I mean? But I don't want to, because I feel like thicky alert will go off. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, I'll just say Godfather, and, you know, like, and then no one cares, you know, be boring. But, like, I literally want to say one other person that people respect has said.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was looking at, you know, people are doing those five films or whatever.
Yeah.
I was looking through and going, I reckon those three are for other people. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. For sure, definitely.
Those three are for other people. There's like,
yeah, you're right.
I was like, I was like, that's exactly what I want to do with this question. I want to just go, there's a pretty off-kilter, no one can say you're a penis film for saying it.
Go on.
So I was going to say, yeah, but I think two films I thought about, but I love lots of films, but I was going to say Midnight Run, because it was on the other night and I was like, that's a good film.
Really good film.
And Cloth by an Italian director. It's got no sound, and it's one long shot
of a cloth
from above,
right?
And yeah, and it's called Cloth because it's a shot from above, and it's a close up of this woman's blouse really close up.
Wow.
And it's called Cloth. So those two.
Has it got a voiceover by Audrey Hepburn? It sounds wonderful.
She was in the original. It's a remake. I prefer the remake of Cloth.
Wow. Will Smith and Midnight Run.
Yeah, but I also wanted to put in like a thicky one, which is Stir Crazy.
Nice.
Yeah. Love Stir Crazy. I think that's a brilliant film. I think that what I got from Stir Crazy was like, it was that fucking brilliant. Where it went is like a kind of, you know, it's essentially an escape film, you know, like wrongly convicted.
Yeah.
And they decided to escape using a fucking rodeo show. I was like, what the fuck? It's like, that's not your first idea, is it?
Yeah.
It's not your second idea. It's not as good as getting your head stuck in a bit of modern art. But I was sort of, yeah, that film was just fucking, and anything with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor together. I even liked Silver Streak?
Silver Streak, yeah, Silver Streak's good.
Yeah, that was good. You know, so, you know, going back to your old question, where it didn't stand up as much, I didn't love See No Evil, Hear No Evil as much as when I watched it again. But Stir Crazy stood up, stood up. And there's some, I think that was my proper answer. Midnight Run was my middle ground. Cloth was my... That guy's a genius.
Was the one you want everyone to think it was.
Yeah, yeah, but my real answer is Stir Crazy.
Can I just check with you your time? Because we've got... There's a few to go, but I'm worried about...
Oh, guys, keep going. It's fine, it's fine.
What is the film that you could or have watched the most over and over again?
Oh, this is the easiest one to answer for me.
Go on.
Which is Porridge, the movie.
The movie?
Yeah. I'm almost word perfect with it.
Really?
Yeah, it's my happy place film.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's. I heard a review of it. I saw a review on. I looked at an old. What do you call it? Who was the bloke who's filmed 82 or whatever? You know, remember those?
Barry Norman.
Barry Norman, yeah. And I think he said it wasn't great or whatever. And I was fucking fuming. I think the reason I love it was because, for me, I loved Porridge, my favourite sitcom, and then I just got to watch a longer one.
Is it like a longer episode? Is it what makes it a film? What makes it special? Did they go on holiday in prison?
Well, that it's an escape again.
Is it?
Yeah, but basically one of the inmates is trying to escape to where is it going? But anyway, and they organise a celebrity football match, right. And during the celebrity football match, they escape. But they take Ronnie Barker and Richard Beckinsale's character with them because they get caught up in it. And then this is the brilliant bit: they have to break back into prison because they haven't got very long left on their time. It's just a great film, and I think I love it because I love the characters. So you get to see them again, basically. And I didn't. There's a follow-on sitcom called Going Straight, which isn't anywhere near as good as Porridge. But I watch it because there's just more of the characters again, and it's not great, but you just spend more time with them. I think that's why I love it, because you get more time.
That's like me with Bad Santa too. It's really not a good film, but I love the characters. I just want to hang out with them.
Yeah. It's just, if you get it right and you love those characters enough, you just want to hang out with them.
It was absolute dog shit. I was happy to sit with them for an hour and a half.
But I think Porridge the movie is really good. It's really funny. Yeah. And I think, Dick Clement and Ian Lefreno, funny. If you read the script, it's just oh, God, the lines. Just keep... It's oh, God, how do they stick so many good lines in? And proper jokes. That's a serious answer, sorry. But for me, it's not Cloth 2.
It's nowhere near the remake of Cloth, but it's good.
Cloth on the Run 2.
What is the film that's the worst film you've ever seen?
Again, I'm happy to say this. Other people are obviously sort of diplomatic. But did you ever see Coffee and Cigarettes? No, was it called Coffee and Cigarettes?
Yeah, and you know what? You're fucking absolutely right.
Only film I've ever walked out of in the cinema.
Yeah.
And I think I was the only person in there. I was with someone else. But I think I said you should be ashamed of yourself to know. But that was for me to make myself laugh. it was so bad. It was so, what do you call it, up its own arse.
Yeah.
It's just different. Wasn't it just different famous people drinking coffee and smoking in cafes or stuff? And there was nothing. I was so angry. So that, easily the worst film. That and The Godfather.
Great answers all round, hey? You're fucking coming into your own in the set in the back.
Godfather's a bad film, isn't it? It's so boring.
There's a bloke in the wedding who doesn't even move for the entire wedding.
He steals the show for me.
He's the one that sticks in your mind, yeah. You're in comedy. What's the film that made you laugh the most?
Spies Like Us.
Is it?
Yeah. Just, I at the time, I think Chevy Chase was just a brilliant, funny man. Apparently he's an arsehole. Is that true?
Read good things about him.
No, which is a shame, but he was...
All hearsay?
Nah, it's just, I think it's official. I literally listened to a podcast this morning and they said, who was it? Listening to Conan O'Brien with someone.
Yeah.
And they were talking about him hosting SNL or something, and it came really badly. And everyone in the comedy world being over the moon or something. And I was like, okay, that's pretty official then. Love it, funny. It's people think it's quite backstabby, but I think it's quite supportive. If your friend's in something, you don't want them to crash and burn. I watched it quite a few times, and there's just some fucking funny lines and funny bits in it, and it's just a stupid film, and it makes me laugh. That and Cloth 3.
I didn't know they made a trilogy. Wow.
Yeah, I went down here, but it was they tried. It was the studio sitcommed it basically.
Right. They put two shots in for the third one.
Yeah, they filmed it in front of a live audience, which is never going to work. But yeah. Have you seen Spies Like Us?
No.
Have you not? You like good films, though, don't you? Like
No. Do you know what? I'm lying. I have seen it, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And the truth is, I can't remember it that well, but I remember enjoying it. But I couldn't tell you a lot about it other than it was in a like string of films that I watched when I was little, like The Great Outdoors and that and Stir Crazy, like all of those together. And that's the one I can remember the least.
That's the other thing in your podcast that comes up quite a lot, where you go, looking back, there's a sort of worrying kind of element to it. And I was like, oh, you'd probably put, you know, like, you wouldn't make that film now, though.
Why?
You know, well, it's very sexist. Do you know what I mean? Okay. The female characters are pretty much in their bra for a third of it and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you kind of go, and when you watch it, you go, it's utterly, you know, it's just, they've just written in that in. It's basically...
So weird, it's not, now, isn't it? It was so prevalent. It just seemed like it was in the format of 80s comedy films. You have to have one bit where a woman's in it, gets her boobs out, and then we get back to the comedy.
Like when posters were for three or four men looking through a woman's legs from behind. Sorry, I've got to see how often I get text messages. We've been talking for an hour and 20. That's the first text, and that was a group text. And it wasn't addressed, and that was nothing to do with me. Basically, someone sent a picture of some herbs in their garden to the family WhatsApp group.
That's nice.
That's depressing. That's how little interaction I have with the world.
Now, here's the thing, Joe Wilkinson. Yeah. You've actually done very well. I know you were worried, and you've treated this like a pub quiz.
I want to know
how many points you got. You got about 11 out of 15. She's pretty good.
How did you score?
She's really pretty good. And also, what you have done is your practice for your dinner party is amazing. You're dropping
Audrey Hepburn. You're dropping Hepburn,
Sally Field, Helen Mirren. People are going to be like, this guy's so sophisticated.
Nutty Professor.
You've got them all covered. But here's the thing, Jay.
Fast and Furious 6.
Here's the thing. We're at your cousin's wedding. It was actually your cousin's wedding. It was a joyous occasion.
When I bled out.
Yeah, a lot of your family and friends were there, and you'd gone to the toilet between starter and mains.
Yeah.
You came back to your seat, along walking back, you hadn't even noticed, but you basically just walked into something and it's like poked you in the shoulder and broken the skin. But you had a bit to drink, you weren't that bothered.
No.
No one noticed, you sat down and you started bleeding out. Through each other.
It's a good phrase, isn't it? Bleeding out.
Yeah, it's great. So then there were speeches, you were clapping, like every time you clapped, more gush would come out of the.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
You, as like an extra in The Godfather, did not get up from the table the whole time. and you thought it was sweat, because it was hot, but it was actually blood. You were just covered in, but you're bleeding out all over your suit.
I was wearing a red suit and a red shirt as well.
Yeah, so no one thought anything of it, including you.
That's why they put me at the back of the room.
Yeah, and you started going, I'm tired. I feel a bit tired, actually. And your partner was like, come on. And then the first dance happened. Everyone got up, went over to watch the first dance. You were like, I'll sit here, I'll stay here. You continued to bleed out. And then New York happened, and then everyone's dancing. 4 hours later, I've had the time of my life. And your body finally fell onto the marquee floor, dead. You'd bled out.
Yeah.
No one noticed. They were all still kicking their legs. One more to the DJ. And he said, no, honestly, I'll get done by the council. And this place shut down. The lights came out. Everyone's going to get Ubers out the front.
Yeah.
Months later, I'm walking through a field. I'm like,
Sally Fields.
I'm walking through Sally Fields. And there I find you absolutely rotted into the ground. Where the marquee was. No
with
one
a carrot, in that. With a carrot up my arse.
A carrot up your arse. Someone had drawn a dick on your head. It's so awful. The disrespect.
What a wedding.
I know. Anyway, you were in a right old state. There were bits of mud and ground that had stuck to you. I come over. I brought this coffin that I thought was the size of you. It's a bit too small, so I'm having to chop you up. smash you all in, get you all in this coffin, and then I mush it up, and it's rammed in there, right?
Okay.
There's only really room in this coffin for one DVD, and for me to slide in the side, for you to take on the other side, and on the other side it's movie night every night, and one night it's your movie night. What film are you taking to show everyone in heaven when it's your movie night, Mr. Joe Wilkinson?
I'll take the DVD of that wedding.
You're going to take a wedding, the wedding video, just to see.
where I bled out.
Okay.
I'm going to take the video that was recorded of that wedding when in the background I slowly bled out.
I'm going to allow it. I'm actually going to allow it. Because I think it would work as a document in the same way as Gimme Shelter does. So I'm going to allow it. Thank you, Joe Wilkinson. Is there anything you'd like to tell people to look out for?
What's to look out for? Golden Girls is on Channel 5.
Is it really?
They're playing all of Golden Girls.
Are they really, though? Or are you being cheeky?
No, they really are. Yeah.
Fuck, I love the Golden Girls.
What's it called? The one show is worth watching.
Is it?
Yeah, because people are Skyping in from the house, which is fascinating. Golden Girls and the One Show. That's what I'd tell people to watch out for.
Joe Wilkinson, thank you so much for your time and your 11 out of 15 answers.
This isn't going out, is it?
It's going to take a heavy edit, but it will. Thank you for doing this. I'm going to stop the recording and say goodnight to you. Good night.
Night, night.
So that was episode 152. Head over to patreon.com/Brett Goldstein for the extra 20 minutes of chat secrets with Joe. Go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating, and write about the film that means the most to you and why. It's lovely to read, it helps numbers, and it is really appreciated by me and my neighbour Maureen. Thank you very much to Joe for doing the show. Thanks to Scroobius Pip and the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to Buddy Peace for producing it. Thanks to Acast for hosting it. Thanks to Adam Richardson for the graphics and Lisa Lylan for the photography. Join me next week for another smasher of a guest. And that is it for now. I hope you are all well. In the meantime, have a lovely week, and please be excellent to each other.
Sometimes I dream of becoming an actor. Have you ever dreamt of becoming an actor? Maureen, what is it you think I do for a living? Never mind, sounds like you need the New York Film Academy. NYFA offers workshops, BFA and MFA degrees and summer camps in filmmaking, acting, journalism and more, online and on campuses across the globe. To make films alongside industry professionals, explore more at nyfa.edu.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Maureen.
Maureen, your Canva presentation looks brilliant. Thanks, Brett. That's because I used AI-powered Canva presentations. I just described what I wanted, and Canva presentations generated the perfect slides. You can even make a talking presentation for people to watch on their own time. Check this out. Recording. 101 Reasons Why Beaches is the Saddest Film Ever Made by your neighbour Maureen. Is it easy to use? If you can use a computer, you can nail your next work presentation with Canva Presentations at canva.com, designed for work. Oh, thanks, my name is Maureen. No, thank you.